So I guess I can't read any articles because everything's going to crash.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Just do like we usually do. Everything off the top of your head, filled with inaccuracies.
This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Sony finally shows off its new PlayStation 5 console. We try to remember what the next box is called. And on Future Retro, we focus on the current generation with a second helping of Animal Crossing, now that I finally played it. Seriously, Xbox Potpourri Next XS? Hey, Vink.
Hey, Sean.
Well, it finally happened.
What? What finally happened?
We've been doing this podcast long enough that we've gone through not one, but now two console cycle changeovers.
No.
Yeah.
What? No. Which ones?
And the last one was pretty stressful as for the industry before they backed off, so.
Two and a half.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's been kind of on a different cadence for a while there.
Yeah.
But,
Wait. No. It can't be two, right? Okay, we started this podcast when?
2011.
The Wii was already out. The Wii was out.
The Wii was out, but the Wii U was not.
Okay, so two. Okay, we're going into two and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Early shows were very, like, you know, Wii HD, Project Cafe, Wii U-based.
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
then a couple years later, it was all Xbox One, Xbox 180, PS4, PlayStation Death, that kind of thing. And then it's been a long 7 years since then, and now we got the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5, because once they made it through PlayStation Death, I guess anything is possible.
Is Xbox just trolling us at this point? I mean, like, okay, so the first Xbox is called the Xbox, then it's the Xbox 360, which is quite an escalation of numbers, okay?
Sure.
And then it's back to then we're back to one, the Xbox One, and then it was the Xbox One X. And now it's what? What
there's
even
also
is
the
it now?
S series, I think, too, right?
Yeah, there's the what even is the new one? It's the what is the Xbox Xbox Box Box X something? I don't know. Like, they've exhausted every possible combination of X and box.
It's true, but it is a lot more boxier than it's ever been now.
That is true.
And they both look like routers.
They do. Okay, so wait, what is the new one called?
It's Xbox Series X, I believe.
Is it?
Something like that.
But there was something called the Xbox One X, right?
Yes.
And that was not the new Xbox.
It's upgrade like the PS4 Pro.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
It's like the PS4 went from a double decker to a triple decker.
Yeah.
It's like the Big Mac of consoles, I guess.
Yes, they added some special sauce. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get a Switch 1.5 as we've discussed on previous shows.
Yeah, I think they're gonna go right to the 2. I think, but I don't care. We'll get into that. So it's a new console cycle. So what?
We're just getting old, man.
No way. As I was saying the other day, I'm actually an 18-year-old undercover in a 40-year-old's body.
I think we all feel that way. Meat space is kind of BS, you know.
Yeah. You ever got? Yeah. Meat space. Oh man.
Pretty soon, we're going to be the Xboxes.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. There's an Xbox Series X and an Xbox Series S. And the Series S is actually box-shaped.
This is really confusing. You know what? I've got too much consumer confusion. Like, it's the Wii U all over again. I think the customers are going to be like, didn't that already come out?
Right.
Like, they really need to differentiate more, or it's going to be like the Wii U all over again, where it was a totally different system, but it looked like an add-on.
Yeah. I don't understand. So there's a Series X, there's a Series S. This is very confusing to me.
Now, Sean, as someone who is an adult,
allegedly,
yes. I'm going to give you some advice. Don't ever try to do anything.
Oh boy!
Because you'll only fail. Just stick to exactly what you know.
So I'm trying to figure out what the heck an Xbox Series S is versus a Series X, and I don't even know.
I'm not
going to find out. Well, why don't you tell me?
I'm not going to read anymore about this.
You just tell me. I'll let it wash over me, and I'll forget about it next week. Go ahead.
The Xbox Series S was basically their equivalent of the, a good equivalent would be like the Nintendo DS to the Nintendo DS Lite. It was like a lower cost, pretty much same spec thing, although it did add the ability to play back like 4K Blu-rays, which is interesting because remember Microsoft was originally not even promoting Blu-ray. It was they were heavily in the HD DVD camp. And Sony was going Blu-ray, but then when the PS4 Pro came out, they didn't support the ability to play 4K Blu-rays.
Are you talking about the Xbox One S or the Xbox Series S?
Wait, it's called Series S?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No. This just exemplifies the point that they're just trolling us at this.
They are.
Clearly. No, the thing you're talking about is the Xbox One S. This is the Xbox Series S.
Wait.
O and then S in sequence, clearly.
What does the S stand for?
Not X. Not as good as the X, apparently. There's
no,
the S
but
and
it's better.
X.
It's better, right?
Well, it's like an iPhone, really. And I feel like buying a console these days is basically just like buying a phone. You only get every other one, if even.
Okay, hold on.
Yes.
So the S is better than the X.
The S is worse than the X. It's like a toned down.
Ah, okay. So that's the cheap. That's the cheaper model.
Yes.
Okay. So it's like. So coming in, you're gonna have a bunch of different models to choose from. There's the ones that are gonna be super great, and the ones that are gonna be great. And there's going to be ones that are digital only, and there's going to be ones that have disk drives, right?
Right, yeah. Let's talk about the PlayStation 5 and how they're handling this.
You can support the Famicom Dojo podcast and web series. 2020 is going to bring not only a new video series, but a new podcast. And our patrons are going to be the first to see and hear them. New patrons this month include Blake Fuller, Peter Burrell, Keith Robinson, and Mario the M-Hat Hero. Mario is also a new Dojo disciple, which also includes Earl Grey III, Brady Cashin, Chris Berkland, Paul Spicknall, Daniel Hathcock, Blake Fuller, and Lena. I think with all this great news, we're going to probably release not just one, but two new t-shirt designs this year. So if you're interested, please sign up today at patreon.com/FamicomDojo. Even a dollar is better than an ad.
Hey, Sony, you know how you called your system the PlayStation 5? I like that.
It's helpful.
It seems very much to me that it would be a sequel to the PlayStation 4. That helps me a lot. That helps me a lot. Microsoft, come on. You skipped Windows 9, for one. That confused me. You went right to 10.
Do you know why they skipped Windows 9?
Why?
Because of Windows 95 and 98. There was a lot of code people had to write to like look for Windows 9 and then assume one or the other to be compatible with stuff, and they couldn't use it because of all this custom code people were writing to detect what version of Windows they were on. So they had to go from 8 to 10.
Technology is stupid.
Yeah. But at least Microsoft went numerically in that case.
That's true.
What was it? There was Windows 3.1, then 3.11. And then there was NT at the same time. There was like NT4, and then NT4 became Windows XP. And then it was Windows ME and Windows 2000 in there too. But like, you know.
And Bob, Microsoft Bob.
Microsoft Bob. and then somewhere in there after XP, there was Vista. And see, I don't have a problem like memorizing this stuff because Nintendo does the same thing. They go Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64.
Yep.
GameCube, Wii U.
Exactly.
Switch. It's fine. Having esoteric naming conventions isn't weird unless it's repetitive and confusing.
Yes. Now, if they called it the Xbox Ultra Power, I'd be okay with that.
Right.
Because it's it's so different. But when it's like the Xbox XSS South by Southwest.
Right.
It's really hard. So anyway, Sony, PlayStation 5. Good name. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Excellent name. Everything else I'm not so sure about, but good name.
I like the logo. It's got a 5 in it.
Does it?
And it looks very much like the PlayStation 4 logo. Almost no change whatsoever. You know how little I like change. So
I'm going to look this up right now cuz I don't think I've seen it. Oh yeah, PS5. Yeah. Okay, sure. So it's like
The PS5 looks like a tower in Dubai. It's like got that kind of industrial design. Like, it doesn't really look like a console, but it looks like, you know, I would rent an apartment in a PS5. And it's almost big enough for me to.
Yeah. So they basically haven't changed the font since PlayStation 3, although the PS3...
No, the original PS3 had the Spider-Man font.
No, that's true.
It was later.
Yeah. It was later. But you know, since the later one, they haven't
like that font, right?
Monkeyed with it. Yeah. Yep. That's the one.
Yep.
That's the one. Things are allowed to change occasionally, like Pepsi's logo, you know?
No.
Iconic.
No.
Let's not go there. No. Sorry, this isn't one of my Pepsi casts.
No.
I apologize.
You know, that's the spinoff cast we should be having, is the Pepsi cast.
No kidding, right? All right, so PlayStation 5, how are we feeling? I can tell you this much. My initial thought was, we can't be ready for PS5 yet because I just got my PS4. Then I realized that was in 2014. I played it for about a year and a half because of Dragon Age Inquisition. Yeah. And I haven't really played it since. So now I'm realizing, too, that like other BioWare games I haven't played in almost a decade. So I don't think I'm the right person to ask about any of this stuff because I clearly don't have any concept of time anymore. And
nor
that's
I
get worse.
Nor I. They announced that Scott Pilgrim versus the World was getting a 10th anniversary re-release, and I went, "That's so funny because it's only 5 years old." Wait,
I thought it was older than that. I thought it was like 2008. 2006 even.
No, it's not that old, is it? Hold on, I don't know.
I mean, the fact that Scott Pilgrim plays a Rickenbacker was something I was completely aware of, and I feel like the farther back in time from 2010 it goes, the more I feel like I would have recognized that immediately. But you never know. Let's just say yeah, sure.
So anyway, so yes, we are old, so we're about to enter a new console generation, and I agree. I feel like this one hasn't really even run its course yet, but maybe it's because the previous one was so long.
It was pretty long, and the consoles that we mentioned were meant to elongate it because technology is marching faster than these cycles tend to. So seven years is a pretty good run.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you consider the things like the previous generation, like what N64 got 5 years basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before another one came out, you know, all these consoles hang on for a while, you know, but like Super Nintendo really only had, let's see, 90 until N64 was what, 96? 95? 95 in Japan?
96 in the, so that's, my birthday.
Yeah. Basically, US. Basically 5 years. And for me, Super Nintendo seemed like a long, long time. And that must be what Dreamcast got a year.
Right.
It like it got
And we're still talking
months,
about
you know,
it 20 years later.
And we're still talking about it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think it's just that time is relative. Console generations doubly so.
Nice.
Thank you.
Not only do I appreciate that reference, but I think it comes down to like how Nintendo, I think, does a good job of making its consoles mean something, even if it's just an initial splash. And I think beyond the PS4's initial whatever. I've only been playing it to pick up on the remastered PS3 games I never really played, Journey being the most recent example. Although I think I want to, I'm really interested in The Last of Us Part 2, so.
Looks good. It looks good.
Yeah.
Now, here's something. For you, the PS4 may not have seemed to be anything particularly groundbreaking. You know what I mean? But surprisingly, it's Sony's best-selling console ever.
That is incredibly surprising, actually.
Yeah, more so than the PlayStation 2, which I would have assumed was the main. But worldwide, this is worldwide.
Okay, still.
I know, right?
Interesting.
Right, because for me, it doesn't seem to have moved the cultural needle much.
Mm-mm.
But then again, I am not a young person.
Right.
So I mean, Let's look at. Okay, how about Grand Theft Auto?
Sure.
A game
I've never really ever played. Sure. Yeah.
I know, but like.
Yeah.
Okay, the PlayStation 2 got 3 Grand Theft Auto games: Grand Theft Auto 3, okay. Grand yep. Theft Auto Vice yep. City, Grand Theft yep. Auto San Andreas.
Sure.
Okay, and the PlayStation 3 got 2: Grand Theft Auto 4 and Grand Theft Auto 5. Okay.
Okay.
And the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 got Grand Theft Auto 5 again, and no new game. You know what I mean?
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, the only ones I've been interested in have mostly been remakes from previous generations.
And like, it's got The Last of Us Part 2 right now, which I think is going to be fantastic. But the thing is, I think more people will play this game as a remaster on the PlayStation 5. Maybe not. I don't know. But like, I feel it's going to have a lot of legs on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll definitely not sell as well right out of the gate, but I think a lot of people have already decided that they're moving on. You know what I mean?
Woof. Now that you've mentioned this, you know, going back to the BioWare examples, I played 3 Mass Effect games and 2 Dragon Age games on my Xbox 360, which as of the PS5 and Xbox Series blah 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 blah. Is going to be 2 console generations ago. How many BioWare games have I played on the PS4? There were only two, and I've only played one of them. There was Dragon Age Inquisition, which is the third Dragon Age game, and then there was the fourth Mass Effect game, and that was it. Two BioWare games. Now the company's been in trouble.
Since
before and especially after the release of Mass Effect Andromeda, so that's not terribly surprising.
No.
You know, their star has unfortunately waned. But I mean, just how many companies or even like game series have had multiple releases like that? And I do want to, you know, add to the caveat that making games this big and complex and beautiful and well done is a massive undertaking, and people burn out and everything. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
There's that factor. So I don't really wish people's slave labor conditions
to make me
happy. I'm just thinking, like, I don't think that was the factor necessarily. It's just the interest. No one pushed them into slave labor conditions. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's another discussion about whether we should do a topic about crunch. I think that's actually very interesting because different companies handle it very differently. And we'll get into that later. But overall, like, that's kind of what I'm worried about with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series Next. Ooh, Next. Next Box. Let's just call it that, which is, I think that was like what people were calling the Xbox 360 before it actually came out. But...
Well, then, you know, and the Nintendo Next also, NX.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, now
it's the Nintendo Now.
Ugh. Whatever. Anyway, what I'm really worried about is with these generations is they're going to price themselves out of the market. Not just in the cost of the console, but the cost of game development to take advantage of these amazing specs. Let's talk about those specs a little bit.
Yeah. Sure. There's something about teraflops with the Xbox Series. And I don't know. Whatever.
Well,
that's all I know about it.
Here's what I've got so far, because I don't have anything in front of me right now, because I'm afraid to open Windows for fear of this, of like crashing this stream. So
don't take my Windows machine as evidence that you're Macintosh.
That's true. That's true. So it's going to be, now no spoilers here, but it's going to be faster than the PlayStation 4.
Oh my! You don't
say.
And
it's going to have higher resolution.
Oh, 8K.
And the teraflops are going to be shinier.
Ooh, I like shiny
and
teraflops.
It's going to have
the matte ones aren't going to do it for me so much.
And it's going to make lots of triangles at once.
Dang.
Yeah, tons. Like more than you like.
Like five?
No more.
Six.
No, I think it's gonna make a lot more than six.
Okay. That sounds incredible. I can't wait.
I know. Do you see how disconnected I am from specs and things like that?
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter to me.
I just don't care anymore, because I really do feel that there's been a lot of diminishing return ever since ever since PlayStation 3. Like, PlayStation 4 is just like, for me, it's like, console generations used to be a major leap. Do you know what I mean? Like, you look at PlayStation to PlayStation 2, or like Super Nintendo to Nintendo 64, like, that's groundbreaking. Like,
right.
I mean, but if you look at, less so in the later Nintendo generations. GameCube to Wii, Wii to Wii U, it's high res now. You know, but like,
right?
But like,
Wii U to Switch, pretty much indistinguishable.
Oh yeah,
pretty much.
I mean, for most of how I play it, which is handheld mode, almost no change. If you play it docked, it's better, but it's not. And the thing is, I suppose if you have a 60-inch 4K, you know, TV that you with Dolby Atmos approved speakers, you'll notice a big change. But from the setup I have, there's not going to be a. I don't know. You know, for one thing, it's better than YouTube, and this is, I think, going to be a big problem going. This is going to be a big problem going through the console generations, because have you ever tried to watch a one of the Digital Foundry comparison videos on your phone?
Oh no!
It's like, this is the PlayStation 4 version. This is the Switch version. And I'm on my phone, and I'm like, so they're the same.
Right,
They're exactly the same. And then I go to my computer, and then I'm like, oh, okay, I can see the difference. If I knew more about this technical stuff, because I know a lot of people, like, I got a friend at work who's like floored by the whole thing. He's like, did you see the PlayStation 5 launch event? Did you see the graphics? And I'm like, I mean, I don't see it as things that weren't possible on the PlayStation 4, because I don't realize what's possible on the PlayStation 4. And I think Last of Us 2 looks like the most looks better than anything that was shown.
Let me put it this way. I think the more that we're discussing this, I think it's incredibly telling that they've been spending so much time. I mean, not just Sony, you know, Nintendo released a lot of good games from the Wii U that didn't get, the exposure on the Switch.
Yeah.
And I think what that's saying, especially in the case of the PS4 though, is that while capabilities of consoles are always improving,
Oh yeah.
It doesn't make it any easier for developers to take advantage of these features.
Nope.
So if you can take a game where like the story and the graphics are done, all you gotta do is like give it another pass and make it better.
Yeah.
And they're gonna spend just as much time, if not more, just doing that.
Oh yeah.
It's impossible to make new games. It just becomes impossible. Maybe that's why we're not seeing new games, because it's just too much overhead involved in making something brand new from the ground up and like meeting these impossible standards. So I kind of prefer Nintendo's approach, where they're not going to chase the 8K. They're going to be like, nope. Who needs a TV?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. Like, I think that's why I mostly play on Nintendo systems, because there are some gorgeous games on the, I don't know what to say, the 4K consoles. Let's just say that. Mm, or 8K now? Maybe 8K. And those are amazing experiences. But they, I don't know. There's only so much time one has to play these beautiful open world games.
Right.
That look fantastic, but do they play that much different from how they played on the PlayStation 3, though? Do you know what I mean? Like, has gameplay caught up with the innovations in graphics? To a certain extent, I'm sure. Many people praised very much the Final Fantasy VII remake for redoing the battle system to have a more modern feel, but is it... I feel like we're chasing something technologically that's going to lead to a lot of small studios not being able to produce games anymore.
Yeah. I think about controllers, you know, like the inputs, those haven't really changed since the DualShock, I want to say.
Yeah.
Like I want to throw the N64 controller in there, but that was kind of an aberration. Like everything is kind of coalesced around the DualShock.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Which in and of itself was already kind of an advancement from the Super NES controller. So very, very little has changed since then. No. You get a couple more shoulder buttons, you get some sticks, and that's it. Like there's
you got motion to a certain extent, but like Nintendo is using it less than they used to, and Sony has it in their controllers, but a lot of people forget that it's even there.
Yeah.
Because, like, the what is it? The PlayStation 4 controller has a touchpad.
Yep.
It has, motion and gyro and stuff like that, but most games don't use it, or if they do, it's just an option. It's not a core to its,
The touchpad, I will say, has been nice for input of text.
That's good.
Being able to swipe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like having to use my iPhone to like type messages in Animal Crossing. Spoilers, by the way. I'll talk about that more later.
Yeah.
There's just no comparison. Like the PS4's text input is like unmatched.
Yep.
Being perfectly honest here.
Interesting. That's something I haven't tried, but now I'm intrigued about it. So, okay. So that's that. Now, from the technical, did you ever see that there's an image that I really loved? It was a side by side comparison of the Xbox Series X.
Just if you just say Xbox Series, we can assume it means one or the other, right?
Let's go with W.
New, sure.
Xbox W. Xbox 3. Let's call it Xbox 3.
It's the fourth Xbox, though.
What? No, it isn't.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. The Xbox Series stuff is the new one. The Xbox One is the third one. See, isn't this confusing?
You're right, it is. Mm. Oh, okay. The Xbox 4.
Yep.
The Xbox 4. I love Xbox 4. Anyway. Xbox 4.
I imagine and Xbox 4 is going to be
But
great.
Anyway, the Xbox 4, the PlayStation 5, and the Switch. They had a head-to-head comparison or whatever, and it showed all these specs, like how much RAM, how much, how many teraflops, all this stuff in the first two columns, fairly detailed comparisons. And then in the third column for the Switch, it just had a picture of the Animal Crossing villager chasing butterflies. And it was like, and that's really all that, nobody cares what Nintendo's specs are, because they're not chasing that. They're chasing butterflies. Animal Crossing is like poised to be the best-selling piece of software in Japan ever. That means being able to beat out any individual version of Pokemon and the previous record for a single game piece of software, the original Super Mario Brothers. It's poised. If trends continue, it will beat all those games and become the best-selling single piece of software in Japanese history.
That's amazing.
And it's not because of the graphics. Do you know what I mean? Like,
how many teraflops can the Switch do? I need to know. I need to compare them.
But the thing is, I cared intensely about this stuff when I was in college.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. It's not the 90s anymore. Like, this stuff just doesn't matter.
Oh, you're in dangerous ground here. That matters a lot to a lot of people.
Well, and, I mean, it matters to them, but it doesn't matter to the market.
Ah, that's a good point. But anyway, so it looks fast. It looks like it's gonna, and it looks like it's gonna have some beautiful games, and I do want to play some games on it. So I'm gonna get one. Yeah.
An Xbox or a
nope,
PlayStation
5. PlayStation 5. I'm gonna buy one.
Okay, this is good. This is good because apparently I only get the even numbered PlayStations, and you've been getting the odd numbered PlayStations. So yes. Just let me know how it is, and then I'll pre-order a PlayStation 6 as soon as it's announced.
Sounds good. Like, I skipped
when
the
I'm 50.
Four. I skipped the four because at the time I didn't see any tremendously compelling software that I wanted to play.
Yeah, you have it all already.
I'm not into shooters.
Yeah,
you know. The no RPGs that couldn't be played on other things had been announced, you know. That's my main genre, you know what I mean? And now I think PlayStation 4 has a very nice library that I'd like to come back to.
Sure,
but it doesn't
sure.
make any
on
sense to buy it doesn't make any sense to buy a PlayStation 4 right now.
Right.
I have PS4 games. I've bought several of them. When I find a good deal on one, you know, I've got my Shenmue 3. I've got Valkyria Chronicles Revolution, blah 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 thing. I've got a few, and I've also picked up a couple deals on the PSN store when I see them, knowing that the PlayStation 5 is going to be backwards compatible with the PlayStation 4.
Right.
So I'm excited to at first play the PlayStation 4 back catalog, and then by the time I get through the ones that I wanted to play there, delve into the PlayStation 5 games, which hopefully by that point there'll be something that, you know, really strikes me as something I want to play. But again, the type of games I play are mostly Japanese, first of all.
Right.
Mostly, and I'm not so into most open world games, although Zelda has kind of changed me on that. Breath of the Wild has really kind of changed me on that, and the Xenoblade series as well. So I'm definitely willing to give those more of a pass than I would before. Still not really into shooters or sports games, except arcade sports games, which is a genre that's pretty much died out. You know, your NBA jams and stuff like that.
Right,
you know?
Unfortunately.
So
your Slam City with Scottie Pippen's.
Ooh.
No.
Was that even a sports game?
I think that was the
Michael Jordan one was like a side scrolling basketball based shooter.
No, it was you played one-on-one basketball. I mean, kind of. It was like quick time based though. So
Oh, you're talking about the Sega CD one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
I have brought that to conventions. Yeah. I should do a pile of shame on that.
Yeah.
It's just too good.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Have you played Double Switch yet?
Yes, I did actually play a little bit of Double Switch.
You should really stream that too. Yeah.
So I mean, without getting too off topic, playing those games is hard because I don't think the controls are as clear as they think they are, and Double Switch adds some complexity to the Night Trap setup that I don't really think does it a lot of service. That's a whole other topic. But it's interesting how much effort they put into like their character design.
Oh,
and
definitely,
scripting
definitely.
And the costumes.
Yeah,
and how I can enjoy basically none of it because I got to be bouncing around from security camera to security camera.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just such a shame.
Okay, but, we're definitely going to talk about that another time. But you should totally stream that. You should totally stream that.
Okay. So I like your
FMV streams. I really do.
Oh Lord. Okay. All right. Deal. I'm gonna write those down. So we should probably get moving on pretty soon here. Because we got some future retros to talk about. But I don't know. Yeah. I'm just feeling blasé about these announcements. I'm like, yep, it's about that time. And that's about where I stand.
Right. Can I talk about the one thing that I do worry about for this console generation?
Sure.
It's that each console manufacturer is also promoting a diskless SKU. Both of them, and I'm worried about that. Like, if the price is really significantly lower to go with one that does not support physical media, I think that's going to promote a big industry change that I'm not super happy about.
Well, so far I think that difference is like $100 so far, and you know, Nintendo solved this problem by having cartridges. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, this goes back to the age-old argument that you just can't fit as much data on there, and I think that, you know, there are companies that we've talked about this in the past that you couldn't fit the whole game on a cartridge, so it was just like a download key, more or less. So having to install this massive game on your hard drive, SSD or not, it's not really doing it for me. And not just because I prefer physical media, but just the logistics of that. Having a limit on your library like that.
Yeah.
I just don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be. Yeah. There's.
But.
One thing about the Switch is at least most companies, and Nintendo definitely, and most of the games I want to play, the whole game is contained within the cartridge. You know what I mean? So, and I skip the ones that aren't, you know? So I agree. It just being running out of space. The fact that the games are getting so, so huge now, over 100 gigs for some games, and you're going to have to constantly data manage with these new consoles to make enough room to, you know. So I'll get the one with the disk drive, because at least since it's offered as an option, that means this generation games, you know, for the most part, will still be offered on physical media. But I think this might be the last generation, Sean. I don't
buy it, because they tried to force it last time.
Yeah.
I still think that there is not a lot of consumer shifts to the discless. I think it's still them really, really wanting people to go digital because it means resales and because it means data management, and not because consumers want it.
Maybe not, but still we're hitting the 50% point with people buying digital. You know, and profit wise over 50% because of all the DLC and stuff like that. And it's not something the customers want. Some customers, of course, want it, but in general, it's something that the industry wants desperately. So
it's nice to want things. alternate title. It's nice to want things.
All right. All right.
Okay. All right, let's move on to some future retro pile of shame.
All right.
In future retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not. What do you got?
All right. All right. Are you ready for this?
I was born ready for this.
This is a game. Look at this. Look at this game.
Oh, snap.
This game is called...
I can't see the title. There's a girl with a sword, so I'm already in.
Yep.
All right.
This game is called Dead or School.
Are those my only options?
Those are your only options.
I mean, I've done School before.
I mean,
I'm not Superman.
Wow.
I haven't done Dead before.
Wow, what a title. Wow, what a title. Okay, that so is this is an action RPG with occasional sexy scenes that seem super out of place, actually, in the game, but not so bad. This came out as a 15 plus title, so it's not terrible. But I played this on stream recently. Oh, by the way, if you're not subscribed to the Vink channel, please subscribe to the Vink channel, because
yes,
I stream every Saturday, nearly every Saturday. So this game is, wow, it's a hack and slash side scrolling RPG with tons of looting and gear and things like that. And the story is that 78 years ago, mutants came and started taking over the civilization because of a terrible disease. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Okay. Forcing people to live underground. All people.
Yeah.
Not just the leaders. Okay. sorry.
No, they're just inspecting the underground to make sure that it's suitable for a future mutant invasion.
Indeed.
Yeah, go continue.
So, anyway, everybody's living like underground in this game takes place in Tokyo, and I think you start off in Ikebukuro, and you're trying to get to the surface in order to, and this is actually the plot of the game, go to school. which is described as a paradise unparalleled to anything that the plot is so dumb and not super well translated either. But that's what's cool about this. This game was not released in the United States, although I think it is coming out digitally.
Okay.
But we've got a region-free system, and there's English on the cartridge.
All right.
You can select English. It's not super well-translated English, but that just adds to the charm. And I came into this... watch the stream. It's on the Vink channel, if you ever have 2 free hours. But I went into the stream planning to make fun of this game with the stupid title and the dumb premise. But I wound up actually really, really liking it.
Because
it's very visceral. It has a fun combat loop. There's tons of upgrades and loot. And the story is just ridiculous enough in like sort of a Army of Darkness sort of way.
Okay.
You know, that absolutely ridiculous that I was tempted to keep going, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I'm going to put it on... It's not for kids because it's violent and it has torn school uniforms.
Sure.
So I'm not going to recommend it for everyone. When it does come out digitally, if it's on a sale for like $20 or less, I'd say go for it. I'd give it a recommendation. It is ridiculous, but I really enjoyed it. All right, beat that.
Awesome.
Sean, what's your game? I bet I never heard of it.
Probably not. Here, hold on a second. All right.
Sweat
all right
towel.
Have you heard of this game?
Anamile Crossage.
All right, listen. I know we talked about Animal Crossing last episode.
Yeah.
I know we did, but I hadn't played it yet.
Yes.
in fact, your urging is what got me to play
it,
finally. Friends will tell you that occasionally it's hard to get me to like even take a glance at a good game. I have never played an Animal Crossing game, and people were so excited that I was playing Animal Crossing that it was a little overwhelming at first.
Yes.
Because everyone's like trying to give me stuff. I'm going to like come and visit their island. And like, and like, it took me 30 minutes to set up my island and like get my character all going.
Yep.
And that's all I had done. I have no idea mechanically what you do in this game or what is new versus what has been in it since the beginning.
Yep.
So I guess the crafting system is new.
That's new. Yes.
So I'm just like, all right, I can't even memorize these recipes yet.
Yep.
And like, Phil came to my island and like dropped like $1 million all over it in places I couldn't get to. Cause I don't have any bridges, let alone like a vaulting pole, which you can craft. So,
which I left you when I visited.
So like it was.
Did I ruin the game for you?
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Like I made some very conscious decisions to try and progress through the way that the game wants you to, and I just kind of like just held on to this stuff. So my house is really big for as little advanced as my island has been in like the week, the 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's been since I've had the game, but. It costs like $100,000 to build a bridge. That or bells, I guess, to build a bridge. That's just so ridiculous. So
it's actually not so bad if you're playing with a few players on, because all the people on your island can contribute towards that.
Right.
So but my kids are constantly fishing and stuff, and they've got the money. So I just start a bridge building, and they'll pay it off.
Right, and that's how I discovered that actually worked. So I actually had the money up front for it, and I was like, oh, I didn't even need to do this. But I guess from the perspective of someone who's never played Animal Crossing before, let me break it down a bit. At least in this version of the game, you have a deserted island. You start with a tent, and it's an island getaway, and then it pretty soon it becomes like get away from civilization forever to build a new civilization. And I've heard jokes in the past about how Tom Nook is like the worst of capitalism, but it's kind of true. Like you have to pay off your tent with Nook miles that you earn by doing things over the island, which is both cute and like kind of existentially horrifying.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that, you are constantly indebted to this horrifying tanuki. He's not a raccoon, fellas. Tom Nook clearly means tanuki. Anyway, the balls on this guy, I swear.
I get it. I understood that reference.
Right? So it's interesting, like I understand all the jokes and references now, and I've just met Isabella for the first time because the island's advanced that far.
Yep.
But you know, you're creating civilization. It's all the things I liked about Lost, minus the smoke monster. And so I'm just digging it, building utopia one stick, one rock at a time.
Yep.
And my kids are also playing it. In fact, one of them can't stop talking about it. At least until he played Minecraft yesterday, and then I was talking with him about Minecraft. But for a week, he was talking nothing but Animal Crossing.
Yeah, my kids will be talking about Animal Crossing, and I don't realize they're talking about Animal Crossing. I think they're talking about the real world, and I get very confused. That's like, you know, like I came and the kids were like, "We have peaches today," and I was like, "Ooh, peaches! I like peaches. Maybe we'll make a pie."
Yeah.
Nope, the island had peaches.
No. Yeah, I already have all the different kinds of fruit and bamboo and everything that I can possibly grow at this point.
I didn't until I got them from you, actually. So.
Oh, snap. Yeah, well, you know, again, people were very excited that I started the game. So they gave me all this stuff. So there's very little that I had to do. But It's very interesting. The thing I was worried about the most was it being a huge time sink. And there is indeed a lot that I can do. But there are limits, right? Like there are only things only happen so fast. And I actually really, really appreciate that.
I like that the stores close because that lets my kids go to bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's such a clever mechanic in retrospect. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that there's there's the fruit takes a while to grow back, so you can't just things you can do in an unlimited sort of way are fish and catch bugs.
Right, and there's only so much of that I can tolerate, so it's perfect. Like it's just something you can come to, and you can even do it once in a while. I played every day for 2 weeks now, so my Nook Miles bonus at the ATM or ABD or whatever it's called. Yeah. is maxed out, but there's a part that's really impatient. Like I want to get a lot of things and do a lot of things, but the other is like enjoying the process of creating and building this island from scratch. I'm sorry that we're talking about this game twice in 2 weeks, but it's the first I've gotten to play it, so now I actually get it, and if we can have an intelligent conversation about this game once again. There are a lot of this is a very Nintendo thing. Like I can understand why it's become a best-selling game, because it's a hallmark of everything like people love and hate about Nintendo.
Yeah, very much. My takeaway, and something you might find from yourself if your family continues playing the game, is I'm learning more about the personalities of my children through Animal Crossing.
Okay.
I'm finding out, not just on how they decorate their homes, which is interesting because I see what they would do if they could. Do you know what I mean? Like building a music room in your house, even though they don't play an instrument, maybe represents a desire to do that someday. You know what I mean? My kids and my wife do not care about advancing the town in any way. Do you know what I mean? Like when they find the dinosaur bones, they sell them right away instead of donating them to the museum. So if you go to the museum, almost everything is donated by myself or would have been donated by my daughter, Anna. But if she finds a fossil, because maybe I've criticized so many times that no one's donating to the museum, she just leaves piles of fossils outside the door of the museum. She's like, Daddy will deal with this.
What does that say about us? Like seriously, like how much of a heartless capitalist am I?
Yes.
In my nature that I worry about these sorts of things. It's like, no.
Exactly.
You can't sell that. You have to donate to the museum. Or that's kind of the opposite. But I think more like the terms of development and like being in charge of this and taking a responsibility for it. Because
I know.
Think out of everyone on the island, like only that first person is the island representative, right?
Yep.
So I get nervous when people pick all the fruit, because then I can't sell it and like make money to do certain things. Even if it is to like spend back on the island, like I can't do it. Like my kids will like eat a fruit and like break a rock. It's like, well, great, now I gotta go find where that freaking rock is now.
Yep.
Tomorrow, like I don't, I make sure that I harvest all the minerals out of it first.
Oh yeah,
before I let them play, because I know that's going to happen.
Yep. When my son plays, his favorite thing to do is get the fruit from the trees, and he just wants to eat them. He wants to eat them all.
It's like, I'm like,
only if you need to move a tree, you'll have that energy to move a tree. Yeah. But if not, you don't eat the fruit. Or whatever. He's like, I'm eating the fruit. Ha ha, he ate the fruit. I'm going to eat another fruit. And I'm like, that's a peach. That's a peach. We don't grow peaches natively. That's like 500 bells. Put the peach down.
Right?
Exactly. And what does it say? Yeah, exactly. What does it say about us? I mean, like, my daughter, Sarah, she's really into fashion and art and stuff. So she will just go to she will just design clothes. Mm. That's her whole play session. She'll just go there and she'll design clothes and what she wears. And like for a while, and my daughter, Anna, just is for grabbing as much money as possible. So her house was like really Spartan. She had like a cot and nothing else. But like now she's decorating a lot. But for a while, she would just go around to other people. She'd go to other people's yards and take their yard furniture and go and sell it.
Yeah, because I got to the point where I had to like get three houses set up, and they don't rearrange the furniture on their own. Like, I'm just gonna take it back and sell it. Here's a worse thing. This is how I can tell I'm a terrible person.
Yeah.
So the boys had a friend over. A neighbor girl from across the street who hasn't seen anybody in this whole quarantine, whatever. And they might have all had it already. Anyway, long story.
So they
really wanted her to play this game, but it's like, she's got to have her own account, and then she's going to be on my island, and like, how long is she? So I'm like, all right, just use one of my other accounts and then make a thing. I'm never going to use it. Go ahead and like get on the island. Well, she made like 20,000 bells. I don't know when she's going to play this game again. And I'm like,
never.
Should I take her bells? Should I just take them? I mean, I'm going to spend them on the bridges and whatever else I need to build. But I'm like, should I just? And of course, I'm not going to. But I thought about it, and I thought about it seriously.
Of course you did.
I am terrible.
Yeah.
So Animal Crossing is certainly a journey about self-discovery, if anything else. If nothing else.
It is. And it's nice to see that my oldest daughter is a bit of a protector. So she saw that Lucas, who mainly just goes around eating peaches, and he wants to chop down all the trees, by the way. He enjoys. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So when his axe broke, I didn't show him how to build a new one.
Even a stone one, you know?
Yeah. But anyway.
Learning that difference was weird, too. It's like, you know. Yeah. I went to Phil's Island. It's like, make sure you use a stone axe and not a metal one. I'm like, why? What is that? Huh?
Oh, by the way, I've noticed we're not best friends, Sean.
I've sent the request, so hurry up. Accept my request, son.
Oh, you have to. How do you do that?
See, there you go. It's on your phone. You have a Nook phone in this game, by the way. It even asks you if you use a smartphone before, so it instructs you on how to.
That's okay. Okay, never mind. I'll do that because
that's more for the audience and not for you. But yeah,
because I went to the island and it's like you can't use tools here. I'm like, oh.
right.
Okay,
we weren't at that point, so I made the request.
Okay.
And you just have to accept it now. So
okay, I will.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might have accidentally picked up some of your stone fencing. I'll give it back. I haven't. Used
I don't
it.
Care. I don't care. I don't
okay,
care.
Well, whatever.
But it's so interesting. Yeah. What this game says about, because for my daughter sends me letters when she sends me a present, which she does. She sends presents and she writes letters, and it's really good for her practicing English. It's actually really, really good for her, whatever. And my middle daughter will also send me presents, but her letters usually just say poop.
Girl after my own heart. Beautiful.
Yep. And she enjoys the poop. But my oldest daughter saw that my son Lucas, he didn't have any furniture in his house. So she went and she would leave him stuff outside his house so that he has something to put in there. You know, it's just like I'm seeing their personalities come out. You know, she's got kind of a protector personality, whatever. Animal Crossing is cool. I like it.
I guess, and I suppose just like whenever they make a new Splatoon game, when they make a new Animal Crossing game, I'm probably going to have three kids who are going to be like, you know, Dad, can we get this? And maybe they'll be old enough now that they'll all have their own Switch 2s and their own copies of the game.
But I can see why it's so popular, especially during this quarantine period. Because the game's all about going outside.
Yeah.
Meeting friends, you know, just all the stuff we can't do in any, like, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's nice. Okay, you got anything else?
No, let's answer some questions from listeners and viewers.
All right, from viewers like you.
Maybe not quite like you, but we still like you.
We like you
just the way you are.
We like you.
Dude, all right.
Okay.
And now, a haiku. Console names confuse. PlayStation surpasses death. Xbox Series what?
All right. First one's from Mario the M-Hat Hero. Yeah. What is your favorite season of the year? I prefer fall and winter. Dang it.
Really, really, really in-depth video game-related questions right there. In Japan...
Well, you know, in Animal Crossing. No, go ahead.
In Japan, I really like the 2 weeks that they call spring. Like, the time between when it's too cold and when it's way too humid, when the cherry blossoms are out, it's absolutely gorgeous, but it goes away really, really quick.
That's a bummer.
And when I lived in the United States, I liked the summer because the Wisconsin summer is not so, it's not terrible. It's
right.
It's like what late spring here is. So,
snap.
Yep.
All right. I was born in the fall. I like that bit of a cold snap right before, like right as summer is ending, right?
Yep.
Early mid September, maybe even
all
late,
right,
depending on what year. It's kind of nice. You know, Animal Crossing, they have seasons.
Yes, they do.
So yes, they I will answer that question in about a year when I've gone through them all. We'll revisit it.
You missed the Golden Week event that they had.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
Yeah,
It'll come around next
maybe,
year.
Maybe.
Or you can play with the clock on it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people do that, but I feel that totally breaks the game.
Yeah.
More so than
you
already got it broken by having infinite money at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of money. I used it quite quickly. Sure. All right, next one.
All right. The next question comes from, how am I going to say this? Konacha. Konacha says, do you think history would be different if Nintendo got the Atari deal to bring the Famicom to the U.S.?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, definitely. It would definitely be different. But I don't know if it would have come out exactly the same because, you know, we had a video game crash. There was a lot of it led by Atari at the time. I don't know if they would have marketed it well enough that it would have become the phenomenon that it is, because they were unable to market their own products, you know, by that point. And if it did become a big hit, would they have been able to secure the Super Nintendo? You know what I mean?
Right.
Would Nintendo have continued using them as a distributor or just went about it by themselves? Then again, that might have kept Atari alive, the money made from the Famicom, so that they could have, like, invested something, and maybe the Jaguar would have been, it would have been a really cool system that did well. Who knows? But it definitely would have had an effect. One, I'm not sure if for positive or negative, but definitely.
If no one knows what he's talking about, Nintendo was pursuing Atari hard to market the Famicom in the U.S. before they decided to self-publish.
Yep.
Like, that was not their first instinct. Was they didn't understand the U.S. market. They didn't want to deal with it. They wanted a big name like Atari that was respected, at least up until the video game crash, to handle it. But the crash is partly what put the kibosh on this. Or maybe Nintendo thought that they were going to take advantage of the crash to strong-arm them into it, which is probably more likely knowing Yamauchi. But it's a fascinating story. There was a topic related to that that I had been sort of shopping around at different conventions a few years ago, and I want to make a video out of it because it is a fascinating story.
Oh, super amazing. And I mean, it'll be remembered in the same way that, like, Netflix was offered to Blockbuster Video for $1 million or $10 million, like something not very much. But what would have been different then? Had Blockbuster taken the deal, would Blockbuster's fortunes have been totally turned around, or would they have not been able to market it as well as Netflix marketed? Maybe they would have continued to keep it as a rental service beyond the point where Netflix, you know, made their primary market the streaming. Who knows? But they're very interesting questions, and they'll feature in my alternate reality fan fiction.
I'm embarrassed. I'm blanking on the name of the website that had the exclusive interview with the head of Atari. Boy. Not Coleco, I mean. The British outfit. Damian McFerrin. Help me. Nintendo something. What's the name of the magazine? Anyway, oh God, how embarrassing. Mm. They had this exclusive interview with the head of Coleco on how he got the Donkey Kong licensed right out from
I read that. Yes, Atari. Yes.
And it is amazing. I'm going to link it in the show notes.
That was one of the best reads. Yeah, that was so good. Yeah.
Like the short version is Nintendo was like showing him games that he did not care about, and he claims on the way to the bathroom on a different floor that he found Donkey Kong, the arcade cabinet, and was like, well, what about this? And it's just amazing because I think they wanted to save that for Atari.
Oh yeah,
and Yamauchi did some very Yamauchi stuff to this guy to get the deal to go through. It was
It's a really good read. It's a really good read.
So
okay,
all right. And then last but not least, Mario again. What if the N64 was a disc-based console, not the GameCube mini disc, but like a regular disc? Would it change the progression of Nintendo as a company and the power of the consoles moving forward? I mean, I kind of want to say they were disc-based because they had the 64DD.
Stop it. You know that's not the same. You know that's not the same. That's like saying that's ugh.
So like 25-ish.
That's like saying the Sega Saturn was disc based because they had the Sega Saturn floppy drive.
No, but like it was my axe to grind like 23-ish years ago. It's like why didn't Nintendo wait to release this as their primary format instead of doing cartridges? Like I've been thinking about this for over two decades, man. I have thoughts.
My thought on that is because it wouldn't have they would have lost any what advantage would that have had?
I mean, imagine the Sony deal going through. Like, if we're talking about alternate realities and Nintendo missing the boat with Atari. Like, what if Nintendo and Sony had gotten along? Like, how would that have changed? If that had worked and that had been successful, the N64. There might not have been a PlayStation, or the PlayStation would have been a Nintendo system, or whatever.
Or Sony might have bought out Nintendo. Do you know what I mean? If it was super, super successful,
maybe.
Because Sony had a better stake in the Nintendo PlayStation than Nintendo did.
That's one of the reasons.
That's one of the reasons it folded. What if the Nintendo and Philips deal had worked?
Right. Either way. Right.
Yeah. There's so many alternates, and you know what? Let's do that as a podcast.
Let's just do that.
I'm not gonna do it. Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Come on. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? Five, maybe six triangles. That's it. do you remember when advertising was how many triangles per second a console could make?
That
was one of the things. It was like how many polygons, but then. It was originally how many polygons, but then it went to triangles because you could get a bigger number if the polygon was as simple as a triangle.
Mm.
So it was like, this could push a million triangles a second, which at the time I thought, these games don't have a million triangles. And then I realized in 1 second is 30 to 60 frames. So it's actually way less than a million,
Right, in one frame. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, if you think it... clever.
Yeah, right?
It's like you say it's going to cost $10 trillion and then you realize it's over a decade and it's like, oh, our budget's $1 trillion. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Do you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denshi Mail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denshi Mail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details. Cool. Well, thank you all for the questions. It's still in quarantine land, despite what people say. I'm still working from home for the foreseeable future.
Not here.
Really?
Japan just kind of decided it was done.
Yeah, so was America more or less, but yeah.
But I mean, Japan hasn't really had the outbreak that other, well, at least that we know of. Who knows? It might just be unreported. But Japan, I mean, Japan's definitely different, though. You know, but everyone's wearing a mask when they're outside.
Right.
Like,
unlike
everyone.
Here,
it's
very,
it very rare to not. Yeah.
Which is putting it kindly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get too much into that right now.
No, but it does affect
it does
our world. But it's like the Onion article, and I don't know if this is something that where did I hear this? That must have been on a podcast. Was it listening to the Adventure Zone? It's like the Onion article about, like, you know, man thinks the most stressful time of his life is a good chance to get all his all his aspirations and reach for his dreams or whatever. Like, I wish I could say that this has changed things in a way that I could, like, do more dojo stuff, but it's just not the case. But that being said, you know, we are working on things. I keep saying the website's progressing more and more. We have a surprise project in the works.
We do.
We showed a 3-minute preview of a video that is done to our Patreon supporters for our new Future Retro series that I am super excited about. There's going to be more installments. They're planned. Some are in production already. And we just need to make it perfect, you know, just form that perfect little thing. So I think speaking of seasons, probably in the upcoming fall season, you might see us start to trickle more of those things out. In the meantime, we had spring cleaning 2020 where we were clearing out a bunch of old video. I guess it's not done technically. Like, there's still some things I want to put out, but we have this podcast on a premiere. So it's not really a live stream, but you can watch this if you're not already on YouTube, and interact with all the other listeners. We did the 2-part Shadowgate live stream, Vinx streaming. So there's a lot of streaming going on so that we have the time to work on the scripted stuff. But we are excited to be bringing more of that to you. And when this website is done, I'm very excited.
And I might, if the demand is there, I might be bringing some of my streams to the main Famicom Dojo channel as well. I've been streaming, I think I've missed, last year, I think, I've been doing it for over a year, and I've only missed about 8 or 10 weeks, something like that. You know, not many. Most Saturdays, I'm doing this, and it's we have a core group of people who come every week that I really, really enjoy. So if you're looking for more dojo content and you don't like Sean, please tune into my streams.
It happens.
I definitely tuned into your Shadowgate streams, and I'm like, wow, Famicom Dojo is great without that annoying other guy.
Yeah, what's his name?
I don't know. Vunk or something like that. I don't know.
It sounds right. He's French, right?
Yeah. No. There is no. Okay. There is a Korean fashion label called Vink. That I noticed. That I went on. Was on Twitter. Now I have more followers than they do as a fashion label, so I don't think they're going to be around too much longer.
Oh, no.
But
there were no other famous Seans in the world. That's just so weird.
I know. Such an odd name.
Yeah, right?
Helps the Google search. When I can't remember where Famicom Dojo is, I just search for Sean. You know, it's...
all right, so I think that's it for us this week. And until next time, the dojo is...
composed of more than 6 triangles.
Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amaritones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sledge Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.